The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Mem Tet. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Fuah Shelema. David Ben Esther. Elna Refana Lo Betok Shar Chole Amu Israel. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Laslachat Hayale Saval Israel. Haomdim Al Mishmar Arsenu. Bayabasha Ba'avir Ubayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect them and give them victory and also protect all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Tet Amud Rishon. We are in the middle of a Shekla V'Tarya over here under discussion that Rav Sheshat said it is permissible to do holacha. Holacha means bringing, let's say, the blood of the Korban, walking it towards the Mizbeach. You can hold that blood in your left hand. Rav Sheshat proved that from the case of the Ketoret, where we learned on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol carries the coals in his right hand and the Ketoret in the left hand. Now it's a very important proof because the Ketoret is an item that is mechaper. So we're learning even on items that have the ability to mechaper, like Ketoret or Dam for that matter, Holacha can be still done in the left hand. So comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Zar, Zar means a non-Kohen. Ve'onen, Onen is somebody that a relative passed away, and it is still before the burial. So he has the status of Onen. Shikor is somebody that is drunk. Uba'al mum, somebody that has a blemish. Bekabala, ubholacha, ubizrika, pasul. So in all these services, in Kabbalat Adam, holacha, meaning bringing it towards the Mizbeah and sprinkling it, all these people are pasul. Furthermore, vechen yoshev. Furthermore, somebody is sitting during one of these services. The pasuk says, la'amod lesharet. And therefore, sitting is also going to be a psul. Vechen semol pasul. Beferush Braita from the Tanaim, that if one does the Avodah of Holacha with Sevo with his left hand, Pasul. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, this is a refutation against Rav Sheshat, which means Rav Sheshat cannot argue on this Braita. Now, you're going to ask a question, but what do you mean? He had a case of Kippur. Right. Kippur is also a Mishnah. Yeah. But once already you see this, we can explain that Kippur is an exception because we gave reasons why. The reason why you can't carry it in your right hand either is because the coals are heavy, so you want to let the Kohen carry the coals that are heavy in his right hand because it's hot. So therefore, Ketoret would be an exception. But everywhere else, where it can be done in the right hand, it has to be done in the right hand, it's most going to be Pazul. So now the Gemara is assuming, obviously, that Rav Sheshat did not know this Braita. Because if he knew the Braita, he never would have said what he said. So the Gemara says, Veha Rav Sheshat hu de utba. So what do you mean? Rav Sheshat used this Braita itself to ask a question against Rav Hazda. So therefore, he must have known the Braita. Right. So the Gemara proves this. De'amar le'Rav Sheshat le'amored Rav Hazda. One time Rav Sheshat told the interpreter of Rav Hazda. So you know that when the rabbis used to give the shi'ur, they used to have a metur geman next to them to explain it to the sibur. So one time Rav Sheshat asked the question to the interpreter of Rav Hazda. Ba'ae minem Rav Hazda. He asked the question to Rav Hazda. Holacha bezar mahu. He asked him, what's the deen if a zar, a non-kohen, brings the, let's say, the dam to Mizbeah? Amale kishera. So he told him, it's kishera. And he even brought a basuk to fortify his opinion from the Divrei HaYamim. The pasuk says, "Vayishchatu haPesach." Right? The Jewish people slaughtered Korban Pesach. "Vayizreku haKohanim miYadam," and the Kohanim sprinkled the blood from their hands. "VaLevim mafshitim," and the Levim skinned the animal. Now it says, "Vayizreku haKohanim miYadam." They received the blood from the Yisraelim that were shohet, and they sprinkled. That means who did the holacha? Who brought the blood to the Kohanim? The Yisraelim. So you see, holacha is kasher, bezar. So Rav Chisda not only said kasher, bezar, holacha, but he even brought a pasuk to fortify his argument. So get a motif, Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat told Rav Chisda, how could you say that? We have a beferush braita. Zar ve'onen, shikor u'ma'almum, bekabbala, bolacha, bezrika, pasul. Vechen yoshev, vechen semol, pasul. Because he challenged him from that braita. So the question is, how would Rav Sheshat originally say semol is kasher all along when he knew the braita? And how do we know he knew the braita? Because he used it to challenge Rav Chisda. So comes the Gemara and says, "Batar deshamaa hadar utba." After they refuted him, then he knew the braita. Then he used it to refute Rav Chisda. Which means, which came first? Oh. First came the refutation over here by Simon. So he was introduced to this braita. Oh, once he knew the braita, later on, Rav Chisda made a statement. He said, hey, how could you make that statement that Zar is kasher b'holacha? We got a braita. So therefore, the story of Rav Chisda was only after he was refuted by the left hand halakha. So comes the Gemara and says, V'had Rav Chisda kraka amar. What do you mean? But Rav Chisda has a pasuk. Which means, the pasuk clearly says that the Kohanim accepted it from the Yisraelim to sprinkle. Now, right before sprinkling, there's holacha. So therefore, the chaura means the Yisraelim did the holacha. So the Gemara says, no, da'avud ma'aseh istaba'at. The Yisraelim were like, istaba'ot is like pillars or tables. Meaning, the Kohanim, as they were walking with the blood, they rested, they put the blood in the mizrak in the Yisrael's hand. So the Yisrael was standing stationary, he didn't move. Okay? When the Kohanim were ready to take it, they took it from the Yisrael's hand, they continued to walk. And therefore, when it says that they took it from the Yisraelim, not that the Yisraelim walked it to the Mizbeah. The Yisraelim were holding it stationary, like it's tabak, like it's on a table. And the Kohanim took it from their hands. That's not considered holakha. Therefore, there is no question from those that pasuk. Ba'ir papa. Right, now we go discuss some other questions that Rav Papa asked. If you notice the style, which obviously he did in his Gemara, it's all questions of Rav Papa that's asking regarding the service of Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. So the first question of today of Rav Papa is the following. Hafan havero. Right, let's say a non-Kohen made hafina. Venatan letoch hofnav. And he placed it in the hands of the Kohanim, of the Kohen Gadol. Mahu. What's the law? Melo chofnav ba'inan va'ika. Bottom line, the Torah says the Kohen's hands have to be filled with ketoret. They are. Odilma velakach vehevi ba'inan. Or do we say no? He's got to take it, which means not enough that it's in his hands. He's got to be one that's velakach. He's got to take it. Ve'aleka, and he didn't do that. Right? It was only placed in his hands. Tanat Gemara says tiku. Okay, so that's one question of Rav Papa. Now we go to the next question. Ba'e Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Okay, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi asked this question. Hafan umit. Right, the Kohen Gadol made the hafina this time. Okay, it's a little different than the last question. The last question, a non-Kohen did it. Havero. Yeah. Now we say, no, a regular Kohen Gadol made the original hafina. But what? He died. Can another Kohen Gadol enter with his hafina, meaning just empty out the Kohen Gadol's hands and use that same ketor, put it in his hands? Here it's a little different because here a Kohen Gadol did make the hafina. He did the hafina. Now the question is, when he died, can you just transfer it? In the first question was somebody else, a non-Kohen, havero, did the hafina, and then he just transferred it into the Kohen Gadol's hands. Here, the Kohen Gadol did all the process. He took the ketoret, he put it in his hands, but then he died. So maybe you could argue that what, since it was all done by the Kohen Gadol, so it's okay. Or do you say, no, bottom line, that once he died, to redo. You have to start the process again.
Would it fall if he died?
Even if it fell, or even if it's in the calf, let's say it's in the calf. Yeah, that would make sense. Let's say it's in the calf. Then he made the hafina, then he poured it in the calf like you're supposed to, then he died. So the calf didn't fall on the floor or something like that. Don't make a case which is easy. Make a case easy. You're right. We have to say a case where nothing became tameh. It was on the ground. He didn't pick it up yet. He just poured it into the calf and it was still on the floor.
The other
comes into
that
room. Right. Make a case. don't get involved in the peripheral stuff. Right. Make a case where nothing else became tameh and all that. Whereas, now, Amar Rav Hanina. So Rav Hanina. Now, this is a side point to the Gemara. This is question. Now we go to a side point in regarding this story over here. So comes the Gemara and says, right, now she says clearly, by the way, if you look at Maushi Yikanes Acher, Kohenam Shamesh Tahtav. The reserve kohen, Maushi yekanes lifnim b'hafinazu shenatan harishon netoch hakaf. So clearly, like you mentioned, he did put it in the ladle already. The answer the clouds over that form. Maybe he doesn't have to do a hafina again. Right, again, the reason why this question is still a question is because it's different than the first question. The first question, a non-kohen did it. So the she'ela is, a non-kohen did it, then he poured it into the kohen's hands. Here, no, a kohen did the whole process. He did the hafina, he put it in the calf, right. Now he died. Now the she'ela is, you redo it. You say, oh, the guy died, his ma'aseh is not considered a ma'aseh. Anyway, you have to start the process. You say, no, the hafina was done. You don't just pick up where he passed away. Mm-hmm. So Gebra says, Amar Rav Hanina, Rav Hanina says, Bo'ur'e, he says, come and see. She'elat Harishonim. He says, come and look at the questions of the Rishonim. Which he was saying like this. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi, at this point we're assuming, was one of the Rishonim, meaning earlier than Rav Hanina. Rav Hanina was one of the later rabbis. That Rav Hanina happened to ask this question in the yeshiva himself. This same question, the Kohen, did the Havirah, he died. So he comes along and he's saying, this is amazing. He says, the same questions that are bothering us, what a compliment. They bothered Rishonim as well. Which means they were excited. Look, we have the same questions that our predecessors were having. Look at Rashi Amar Rav Hanina, Le Talmidim, Bo'ureh, She'ador Aharon, Zocheh Litchakem Kedorot Rishonim. They Zocheh to have the wisdom like the earlier generations. She'af Ani Hayiti Shoel She'ela Zu. He says, I also had this question. Ve'achshav She'ala Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Nevi Yishumin Rishonim. He's like, look at this. Now I hear that Rabbi Yehoshua asked this question. It's like flattering. They also bother by the same questions. Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara says, Lememra. Again, now we're going to digression here. Lememra de Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Nevi Kashish. What do you mean? You're trying to tell me Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi was older than Rav Hanina? Can't be. Ve'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi once said, Li hitir Rabbi Hanina. To me, Rav Hanina, Rabbi Hanina was matir. Lishtot shechlayim b'shabbat. To drink the water of the cress on Shabbat. Shechlayim is cress. It's not a vegetable, right? So they liquefied it. So he told me on Shabbat you can drink the water of the cress. Gemara says lishtot. You need a hetir to drink it. Peshita. What do you mean? Of course you can drink it. Why not? Ditnan kol la'ochlim. Anything that's considered a food. Ochel adam nirfuah. A person can eat on Shabbat, even though if his intention is for medicinal reasons. Vechol mashkin and all liquids. Shoteh adam. Right. That's get the kedusha. Right. Shoteh adam nirfuah. As long as it's a regular food that healthy people eat, so you're allowed to eat it even though a refuah is going to come automatically. So therefore, I don't need a heter from the Biharina to drink the water of the crest. Everybody drinks water of the crest. It's a regular drink. So therefore, it's mutar. It's a befirush halakha. So Gemara says, no. Ela lishok v'lishtot. The hadush was, lishok v'lishtot shechlayim b'shabbat. He allowed me not only to drink it, but he allowed me to crush it first. That's already hadush, because we don't have to grind on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, wait, what's the case? If the case was sakarat nefashot, where there was danger of life, mishra shareh. What's the question? Of course it's mutar. I don't need to hetir. We don't pick one nefesh, you do anything you want. The ideleka sakanta, and if there was no sakana, mesar asir. It's asur. So again, what was the Hiddush of Rabbi Harina that he allowed him to crush the grass on Shabbat? If it's Pikuach Nefesh, Vadai Mutar. I don't need a Heter for that. If it's not Pikuach Nefesh, it's Azur. The Olam, the Ika, Sakata. Really, there was an issue of Sakana. The question he was asking was like this, Tim. Mimasya? He's asking him a medical question. Does the water of the cress heal this type of disease? Dinihud alayu shabbata. That I'll mehalel Shabbat for it. I know I can mehalel Shabbat. The question is, mehalel Shabbat has to be something that's going to work. So then he was asking him a medical question. Listen, does water of the cress heal this item? Olo masya. Or does it not work, and therefore I cannot be mehalel Shabbat. Now the Gemara says, "Umay shena Rabbi Hanina." What do you need to hear? What is he asking Rabbi Hanina for? Gemara Mishum debaki b'rfuotava. Because we know Rabbi Hanina, he was the expert in medicine. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yosua ben Nevi referred to Rabbi Hanina. The Amar Rabbi Hanina. Now we just see here a story where Rabbi Hanina, we know, was an expert in medicine. And he says, "Me'olam lo she'alani adam." He says, "I never got asked a question al makat pirda levana about a guy that got kicked by a mule that was white v'chaya and lived." Which is, whenever they ask me a question, what do you do for a guy that got kicked by a white mule? I never saw a case that the guy lived. So the Gemara, what do you mean? When we see people that got kicked by white mules and they do live, what are you talking about? Gemara says, "Ema v'chayat." Instead of v'chayeh, which is masculine, learn the word v'chayat, which is feminine, which is referring not to the person, but referring to the wound, the makah. Which means, I never saw a guy get hit by a white mule and the wound healed. That's what he was saying. Jesus, that type of wound over there, it seems, it's chronic, it stays. So v'chayat is going on the makah that heals. I never saw it. What are you just trying to say? So the Gemara says, we do see people get healed. We do see people that get hit by the white mule, and they get a blemish, and the blemish gets healed. So what are you talking about? Gemara says, no. Besumkan inu v'hevran resh karayu ka'amrena. We're talking about a special type of mule. Where it's a red mule, the hevran and its legs, or its tips of its feet, actually are white. That's what we're talking about. Okay, that's the one that doesn't heal. So now we got to get this out of the way. The Gemara says, "Mikol makom." Bottom line, "Shma mina de Rabbi Hanina kashish." You see, Rabbi Hanina was older. What's the proof? Because when the Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, "You know, I once asked the question to Rabbi Hanina about taking the cress on Shabbat." He wouldn't have referred to him as Rabbi Hanina. From the fact that he referred to him as Rabbi, must be that Rabbi Hanina was older. Because if he wasn't older, he just would have said Hanina. It wasn't the custom of the older rabbis to refer to the younger ones as Rabbi. So in that statement he says, one time, Hitir li Rabbi Hanina. So that went back to our question. That means Rabbi Hanina was actually older. So what did Rabbi Hanina say above? Rabbi said, "Oh, look at this. We're asking the questions of the Rishonim." Right. What are you talking? You're the Rishonim. Rabbi Yosef ben Levi is after you. So how do you understand that statement? So the Gemara says, "Okay, Ela hache ka'amar." This is what he said: She'eltan k'she'ela shelishonim, which means Rabbi Hanina, when he heard the question of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, he said, your question is like the question of the Rishonim. Says, we asked this question already. Which means he was referring to himself. He's the older one. Yeah. And therefore he was just saying, after Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi asked the question, he was saying, look at this, the younger ones, they're asking the questions of the Rishonim, which we asked. So therefore he was indeed older. So that's the side point of the Gemara. Now let's just catch up in Rashi's for a second. Look at Rashi, Shmat Mina. The Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi lo ava kashish. We see that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was not older. Medekari le Rabbi. The fact that Rabbi Yoshua called Rabbi Hanina Rabbi. The kamar li hetir Rabbi Hanina. Velo aya derek azekenim lomar ala bahurim Rabbi. Ela li hetir Hanina yamer. He just wanted to say, Hanina was matir to me. Kilomar li amar Hanina shirifu'a. Okay, Ela Hachi Ka'amar, next Rashi, Rav Hanina le Talmidav. Bo ure she'elatan shel acharonim, the question of the later rabbis, k'she'elati she'anim l'rishonim she'avani hayiti mitkasher. They're asking the same questions that we were bothered with. Good. So Kavzi Gevaran says, right? Kavzi Gevaran says like this. Good. Umi amar Rav Hanina, did indeed Rav Hanina had such a question? Which means you're telling me Rav Hanina had a she'ela that what? If the Kohen Gadol made the hafina and then he died, and then another Kohen took the calf and did it, is it kasher or not? Mm-hmm. Could Rav Hanina have had such a question? Why not? Rabbi Hanina. We have a statement of Rabbi Hanina himself. Befar velo bedamo shel par. What is this talking about? We have a case by the par. Kohen Gadol brings a par on Yom Kippur. Right? That's the par that he makes the vidui on. And then he brings it into the Kodesh. He brings it into the Azara. He slaughters it in front of the Mizbeah. Then he brings the blood into the Kodesh, like we learned. Now, the case was like this. They brought the par in the Kodesh, right? Nice. Right? And then the Kohen died. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now the next Kohen has to take over. So the blood is there already. Mm-hmm. So the question is, could the second Kohen just take the blood when that's there and go and continue the service? Right. He says, no. He says, bepar velo bedamo shel par. Which means it's not enough for the second Kohen to use the dam of the par. He actually has to bring another par in the Azara, slaughter another par, and start with the blood again. So what do you see over here? L'chaora, he's of the opinion that's a reset. Exactly, which means apply that to the ketoret. The hafina was done, it was put in the kaf. Once that Kohen dies, you got to start again, just like by the par. You can't use the blood that's there. You got to start the process over. So the kaura, you got to start the process over. Ve'amar of Hanina, continue. Rav Hanina said, here's the real proof. Continue reading. Ve'amar of Hanina, ketoret shehafna kodim she'itat par. If you did the ketoret, hafinat ketoret, before the she'ita of the par, lo asa velo kelum, which means hafinav ketoret cannot come before the she'ita. That means what? The hafinah is obviously done after the she'ita. Oh, very good. Which means now when the Kohen dies, let's say with the hafinah, mm-hmm. right? So at the hafinah time, already the par was done, correct? After the par, after the blood prepared, he goes, does the hafinah to ketoret. According to Rav Hanina, once the Kohen dies in Hafinat HaKetoret, you got to do the par again.
You
got to go back to the par. Again, the Hanina's rule is, you have to start the par from the beginning. You have to bring an animal in the Azara, slaughter it. You can't just bring the blood that was there. It's got to be the full process. Very good. And we know the order. It was par, she'itat par, kabbalat adam, then Hafinat HaKetoret. Now, let's go back to our question. Our question was, let's say the Kohen did the Havinat HaKetoret, then he died. Hold it. Once he died, it's automatic you have to start again. Because you got to go back to your par. Because the blood that's there is not going to be good for the new Kohen. You have to do Shaita again. Good. So you'll tell me, no problem, bring another par and use that hafina. No. Rav Hanina says, hafina that was done before the par is no good. So therefore, you have no choice but to redo the hafina. It cannot be a question. I never had this question. So now we're saying, what was he excited? Meaning, he's saying, wow, look at this. Rabbi Yoshua Ben-Levi asked the same question that we had. What do you mean, the hafina? You never had this question. To you, it was pashut, that if the hafina was done, and then the Kohen died, you got to start all over again. So what was he saying that he was all excited? Again, you understand the question? Okay, so Kamsa Gevaran says like this. Hachi ka'amar. Medeka meba'yale. From the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben is asking this question, ha mechlal de kasabar, he must hold befar ve'afilu bedamo shel par. He must hold that when it says in the pasuk par, it means even the blood. So therefore, he has no problem if the Kohen dies, let's say at the par stage, No problem. The next crank you just fill in and bring the blood. Which is when you, obviously the Yeshua ben Levi, who asked this question by Hafina, he must hold that the dam is already good. Because once you slaughter the pod, the process is done, it's considered finished, the pod is now, the service was done, the dam is legitimate, and then with the second Kohen, you just come right in and bring the dam. Oh, so therefore your question was not the Geber, the dam. Your question was the Geber, the next item, the Hafina, if he dies over there. Meaning, according to what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi holds, his question is like the question of the Rishonim. Not like me, but like my ones that argue on me. Because Rabbi Hanina in his life had a mahloket. Is it the par you got to bring in again? Or the dam? Or once you slaughter it,
you're
good with the dam. So obviously the Hanina held, no, you got to slaughter the pot again. You got to bring the pot in again. You got to start the process over. But he was just saying, from the Yehoshua ben Levi's question, he must hold that once you slaughter the pot, the dam already is okay to bring in dam. So he must hold like my antagonists. I mean, those that argue on me, he must hold like them. So he wasn't saying, I asked the same question. He was saying exactly, like Rabbanan, that argue on me, I see Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi as a partner. I mean, he's saying like they are. Now let's read Rashi inside. Let's read Rashi. Actually, let's stop. Bepar velo bedam osher par. Okay. Bezot yavo Aaron el hakodesh. Befar ben bakal hatat. It says, with this Aaron will come into the kodesh. I mean, he has to come into the kodesh with a par. Velo bedam osher par. But not just with the blood of the par. Shim shahat paro vamet ena meshamesh tahtav nechnas be'oto dam nifnim. You can't just bring that blood into the kodesh. Ela tzrich lavi par acher v'lishchot. V'cheva tzrich lavi par acher tzrich lachvon ha'shchitato. Now you have to follow it up by a hafina. Why? Because whatever the hafina you did is undone after the Kohen died, because you have to bring another part in. Once you have to bring another part in, it's got to be followed by a hafina. Shechen seder avodah. That's the order of the avodah. Ba'inyan hafan v'met nami, yifshash shloach shachat paro tekhila. In the case where the guy was hafan, the Kohen, and then he died. Well, obviously he did the part already. So if he did the part already, hold it. Now the second one is only going in with blood. Going in with blood's not enough for the Mahalina, so you gotta do the pot again. Once you gotta do the pot again, you gotta follow it up by the Hafina. So the Mahalina never had a sefik by Hafina. So he says, Vizeya Bacharav Srik Lavi Parachir. Viyamati Kanis Bahafina Toshonishon, Nimsa Hafina Zukodim Shahidat Parosh Shani. Now if you tell me, use the Hafina that was done already. No, that means the Hafina is coming before the pot. No good. Haki Kamar of Hanina. Next Rashi. So the fact that Yehoshua ben Levi was asking this question, Hamechlal the Sfira Le, the end Sarik Levi Par Achir. He must hold, he doesn't have to bring another par. Team Ken, Abi Le Ketore Chafna, Kodim Shadat the par. Good. Ulmai the Sfira Le, meaning according to Yehoshua ben Levi holds, Yafesha Al. So he asked a good question. Kesheelat the Rishonim, Otam Shenechleku Alai. My antagonists that argued against me, Befar, Vafilu Betamoshapar. Aflain Nishal Sheelazu. Which means the Rabbanan that argue on me, that hold that the dam is good enough. So Rabbi Yosef Levi is asking a good question. He's also asking Sheelat Rishonim. Not my question per se, but the question of Rabbanan that argue on me. So let's speak it out. Which is, if you hold that once the Kohen makes the Shechita, first coin, right? Now you just have blood. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that blood is kasher. No question, the second coin can pick up right where that coin left off, bring that blood right in. Okay, good. So far, to this stage of the service, you're fine. When is this question? Later on, by the Hafina. By the Hafina, he messed up. But he messed up. He did Hafina, and then he died. Okay, now, the blood that he did until this point is good. Because you can bring in the blood. You don't have to bring the pot again into the Azara. Good. So the Sheila is only by Hafina. That's why according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had a question. Whereas Rabbi Hanina said, hold it. Once you're doing Hafina again, or you have a Sheila by the Hafina where he died, your blood is no good. Because you got to bring the pot back in. You cannot pick up the same blood.
So the Rabbi Hanina says, I don't have this question, but the ones that argued on me that said you can't take the same blood, yeah, the Sheila by Chafina is a legitimate question. So that's the Shekhtav Eteriyahu Bias. Gemara says, Mai have ala. What is the halakha? Okay, in this question, what is the conclusion? Mai have ala, what's the bottom line? Meaning, Hafan umet, Mao Shiachni Sahir Tahtav. Can another Kohen take the ladle and go in? Amara Papa. So the Papa says like this, it depends on another machloket. You remember we had a whole machloket, we discussed it. How many hafinot were done? Well, we know for sure one hafina was done. Yeah. You took the shovel from the Bet Abtinas, right? The Kohen had to cup his hands into the shovel and take a handful, mm-hmm. and then put it in the kaf. But there's a machloket after he brings the kaf in the Kodesh Kodashim. Does he do hafina again? Does he just take the ladle and pour it over the coals? Or does he have to empty from the ladle into his palms again, which would be hafina shiniya, and then pour it on the coals? So the Gemara says, on the... In my havi ala, what's the halakha? So the Gemara says, Amara Papa, depends. I hofen, hozer vehofen. If you hold that there's two hafinot, right? One, the first one from the machta, and then the second one from the calf back into his hands. Havero nechnas behafinato, deha mekaima hafina. Then I have no problem. For sure the second Kohen could do it. Why? Because he's making hafina.
Sorry.
Your whole question is, hey, the second Kohen didn't make a hafina over here. He does. He'll make the hafina in the Kodesh Kodashim.
Right.
So it's not like you got...
slaughter another cow.
Which we have. Wait, for sure the shita holds...
No, I'm saying he could slaughter another cow and not have to do the hafina again because it's not before the pot. He's still doing another hafina.
Okay, if you want to say both have to be before the
right.
But the point is, for our point is, the second hafina is done. However, in hofen vechozer vechofen. But if you hold there's only one hafina, tivrilach. That's where you have your question. Which is, he's narrowing down the question. He's saying, this she'ela is only according to the shita that says one hafina is done. So comes the Gemara says, Abba le Ravuna, Bered Rav Yoshua, le Papa, Adrabah. He says, exact opposite. אי חופן וחוזר וחופן לא ייכנס אחר בחפינתו אי אפשר שלא יחסר ושלא יותיר. It's the contrary. If you're saying you're going to make another hafina,
it's worse
because this second guy
doesn't have the same size hands,
no. And therefore it's going to be either too much or too little,
which means
it has to be exactly the same,
right.
Which means you're not allowed to do more or not do less. So now the Gemara is trying to say, if you tell me the second Kohen that was taking over, no problem, make the hafina inside. What do you mean, how can you make the hafina inside? Already the shi'ur is according to the first Kohen's hands.
Right.
And his Kohen, his hands might be bigger,
maybe smaller.
So therefore it's not going to, you can't follow that like us. According to that shi'ur, everybody will hold no good. The question is only according to the other opinion. That says you only do one hafina. That's the she'ila. The ibayalu. Now we got to that question. Hofen, chozer vechofen or lo? Now we're going to that she'ila. Do you have to make two hafinot or not? If you remember in the Lashon of the Mishnah, it said, Hagadol nefi godlo, vakatan nefi kotno. Meaning, if the coin has big palms,
takes a lot.
If the little palms, takes a little. So we always asked, what are those extra words? Vekach haita middata. So the Gemara says, my love, kishim shmiddata bebachutz, kach middata bebefnim. Which means, from those extra words in the Mishnah, it's telling us about the second hafina. Meaning, the same measure that you used outside when you took the first hafina, kachi middata inside. Meaning, make sure you take the exact amount, the second hafina. Oh, so the Gemara wants to prove that what? That second hafina is mandatory. Yeah. From the extra words, vekach haita midata. Now, if you remember, we rejected this proof on an earlier daf, which the Gemara is going to do now. The Gemara says, hold it. Gemara says, lo, dilma she'im ratza la'asot mida osa. Maybe vekach haita midata teach me that I can use a measuring cup. Would you remember we had a whole she'ela?
Yep.
Can use a measuring cup for the hafina? Maybe he doesn't have to actually take it. Maybe just measure his hands and take a cup that has the same shi'ur. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is telling me. That has nothing to do with a second hafina. It's telling me that that's the midah to use a measuring cup. Or I can give you a third interpretation. Shelo yachsar belo yotir. Meaning it's got to be exact. The Kohen's got to take exactly a handful, not more and not less. Meaning when the Mishnah repeats, kach aita middata, is trying to say you have to be exact. So therefore the Gemara says you have no proof. Again, the Gemara asks the question, do you have to take a second hafina in the Kodesh Kodashim? So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll prove it to you that you have to. From the extra words in the Mishnah, bekach aita middata, mashma. Whatever you took outside in the hafina, that's what you have to take inside. Gemara says, no proof. I have two alternate interpretations to those words. I could either say you need a measuring cup, meaning you could use a measuring cup, or make sure you take the exact shi'ud, meaning not more and not less. Tashema, we have a statement. Kesad hu oseh. Now the Gemara is going to explain us a very complicated process how the Kohen would get the ketoret that was in the kaf. How would he get it from the calf into his hands again? Mm. You have to remember that he's walking in with the shovel in the right, and the calf in the left. He walks into the Kodesh Kodashim. So let's even assume, like Nasheed tells us, he'll put the calf down. So now he's only holding in his left hand the shovel. Now he has to figure
out the ladle.
The coals are down.
Right.
Now he's holding the ladle with the ketoret in it. Now he's got to somehow get it in his hands. Now again, if he only has to put it in one hand, very simple, just let him empty it out of one hand. But I gotta get it in both hands. So how do you finagle it? How do you hold a ladle, empty it out, that it empties out into both hands without spilling anything?
Yeah.
So you have to cup your hands, but somehow
maneuver
with your body to get the ladle to spin over and turn into your hands. Mm. So the Gemara is going to give us this process. Incidentally, the Gemara is going to say this was one of the hardest processes in the Beit HaMikdash. Like we learned the other day in the Gemara, it was referring to what we're discussing now. So the Gemara says, Kesad Oseh, how does he empty it out from the ladle into his hands? Now incidentally, this is going to be an obvious proof that you need a second hafina. That's why we're bringing it. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, Kesad Oseh, Ohez et habazach berashe etzbeotav. The bazach is the ladle pot. Okay? Picture the ladle like this. It's not just a spoon, it has a long handle. Okay, a long handle. And a little cup at the end. Okay? So he says, first grasp it with your hands. Rashid's be on top. Hold the ladle pot. Okay? Now that she's going to tell us, the Kohen's hands were placed in front of him, stretched out, and opened, but his elbows are touching. Then he puts his two hands together, right, to create like a base.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's holding it now. So the ladle's going to rest
in between the
in
two
between
arms.
His two arms. Yeah. Okay? Being them, they're closed,
right.
So he has a base over here, right? Now he's going to hold the cup, okay? And the Gemara is going to say now that he's going to, with his thumbs, he's going to move it back a little, right? Until, they move the cup back, and as he's moving the cup back, the ladle itself, the handle is moving back as well, and it's going to slide until you get it to rest between his elbows.
Right.
Okay, now it's resting between his elbows, then it's right in front of his hands now. Right, you have the ladle right in front of his hands, then he's going to tilt it.
Mm-hmm.
By tilting it now, what's going to happen? All the ketoret in the ladle is going to fall into his hands. Now the reason why this is a very heavy avodah is because you can't lose a drop. If he loses a drop of the ketoret, it's basul. So he has to make sure nothing spills, nothing, it's got to be, and you get one shot. I mean, there's no redo. So the Gemara says, Kesad Oseh, Ohez et habazach, Berosh es ve'otav. Now, v'yesh omin b'shinav. And someone is saying that it would actually hold the ladle, the stick part of it, with his teeth. Now, he would hold it with his teeth, and he would lower it into his hands.
Yeah.
Now, umaale begudlo. Now, with his thumbs, ad shemagat leben atzileyadav, till the ladle, not the ladle part, the handle part gets in between his hands by his elbow. Vechozer umaazral tochofta. Then he flips it over into his palms. This now. So right away, what do you see over here? You see that there was a second hafina. You want to look at the top of that sheet? She's a little more explicit on the top. Kesadu oseh hafina shiniyah shebifnim min abazak letoch hofnav אוחז את ראש הבזק בראשי אצבעותיו לאחר שניח את המחתה בארץ. He puts the מחתה on the ground. וידה של בזק כלפי בן זרועותיו. And the handle is on his arms. You know, on the בן זרועותיו. ומעלה בשני גודיו ומושך את ידיו בגודיו לצד גופו מעט מעט. And slowly, slowly, he moves it back towards his body to get the head of the bazak at the tip of his palm. So when he empties it out, it'll go right into his palms, right? עד שמגיע ראשי ידה לבין עצלי ידיו, וראש הבזק מגיע לגובה פס ידו. It gets to the beginning of his palm. וחוזר ומחזרה דרך צידה לתוך אופניו, וסובלה על הגחלים. Then somehow he has to twist it, you know, flip it over, so it falls into his hands. Then it says, וסובלה. סובלה means, in one mound, he puts it on the גחלים. The Gemara is going to give us two options. Did he put it either in a pile, or did he scatter it? So the Gemara says over here, v'sovra, he piles it on the Gehalim, k'dei shiya ashana shohe lavo. So the smoke will delay from coming. When you put it a big pile, it takes time for to catch. Why are we doing that? So the Mefarshim explained, because we don't want the Kohen to die of smoke inhalation. If you're going to do it immediately, so it's, the room's going to fill up with smoke, you have to give a chance for the Kohen to get out. So therefore you do it in a slow way. The Mefarshim say, Velo yamut be'ashan. Okay? Now, furthermore, another opinion says, V'yesh omrim mefazera. Some say, no, on the contrary. Sprinkle it out over the coals, כדי שיהיה השנה ממהרת לבוא, in order to get the smoke to come quicker. Why do we want that? Because we don't want the Kohen's eyes to look around the Kodesh Kodashim. When the Kohen goes in the Kodesh Kodashim, he's going to be very focused on his avodah. It's not a tour. So therefore, we want the room to fill up with smoke right away, to cloud his vision, so he cannot start looking around the Kodesh Kodashim. Can they even looking in the Kodesh Kodashim when you're not supposed to? There's a problem. And furthermore, the quicker the smoke comes up, the quicker the people outside know
you're good,
that he's steady, he did the avodah. So we don't want to delay it, you know, by putting a lot. So this is a machloka. Do you put a lot in one pile, or do you scatter it? Vezuhi avodah kasha shebemikdash. Again, this was the hardest avodah in the Mikdash. Kibbutz says, Zuhi vetula. This is the hardest avodah, and that's it. Ve'aika melika. What do you mean? You have melika. What was melika? Melika was by the birds again, where they would take the Kohen would take his little thumbnail, and in the back of the neck,
the bones.
So he'd have to pierce the neck bone and go all the way through to the front. So the Tosfot says that was very painful for the Kohen Gadol to do. And that's why it says Avodah Kasha. The pain of the Kohen that he has to go through. Other Rishonim say, since he had to do all with one hand, meaning the same hand that he's holding the bird, he has to pierce it with his thumb. So it's hard to maneuver, holding it at the same time as the as that. Now, the Gemara says, what do you have? Melika. What else you have? And you also have Aika Kemitza. As we learned earlier, when the guy makes the comets, the guy makes the comets, so some of it protrudes on both sides. So he has to, shave with his hands, shave it off with his thumb and with his pinky finger to shave off the stuff that is protruding. So Tosafot understands what's the difficulty in that. So he learns that the difficulty is that it's hard to smooth out something that's kashe, something that's brittle, let's say, or hard, like this. We're not talking about flour. We're talking about the stuff that was in the mahavat, that was in the
like
pan.
Fried.
So therefore, yeah, so it was like a bread, like a matzah. So it's hard for the Kohen in this position to level it, you know, with his fingers. So that was also a difficulty. Now, Tosfot does say that the difficulty in this in the hafina was if he's doing it with his teeth, let's say. So obviously that's a difficult procedure. Tosfot's lashon is over here. Shinotel bazak b'shinav. That was hard. The od neferesh the kaman. Another interpretation why it was most difficult is because when the kohen has to take now the ketoret and put it over the coals, it was a very good thing. He would burn himself because
right.
He has to put his hands right next to the coals to drop the ketoret. So according to the Tosafot, the hard part of it is not necessarily the maneuvering over here. Either the hard part is the fact that he's got to hold it in his teeth, so that's a maneuvering issue, or the hard part is putting it over the coals, he might burn himself. So therefore, it's very difficult to do it in a way where he gets it on, but he doesn't walk away burned. Wow. In any event, the Gemara says that you see there were other issues. So the Gemara says, "Ela zui avoda kasha me avodot kashot shiba mikdash." All the Gemara is saying this was one of the amongst the difficult services in the mikdash. Shmamina, but what do you see from here? Chofen vechozer vechofen shmamina. Proof positive that you see what you do to hafinot. Now we have another question. Shachat vamit. Now we're going to get to the subject we discussed now between the Chanina and those that argue on him if the Kohen slaughtered his pod and then died. Could you just bring the blood in? Or do you have to redo the entire shechita?
Second Kohen is doing the blood?
The second Kohen would bring in the blood. Or does the second Kohen have to start again and bring another pod into the azara? So the Gemara says, Shachad vamit. Mao shikanes aher bedamo. Can another, the second Kohen, just bring in the blood? Miyamrinan befar vafilu bedamo. Do we say when the Torah says pod, it means even the blood? Meaning you don't have to necessarily bring the pod in, so long as you bring the blood in, it's considered like the
shel pod.
Or dilma bepar velo damo damo shel pod. Or maybe no, when it says pod, you have to bring in the pod itself. Rabbi Hanina omer bepar velo damo shel pod. Like we know, Rabbi Hanina's opinion is the pod, new one. The Rishtakish amar bepar veafidu bedamo shel pod. Now we give another machloket. Rabbi Ami amar bepar velo bedamo shel pod. That's like Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Befar Vafilu Bedamo Shel Par. So we have another machlokin amongst three rabbis. Etiver Rabbi Amid Rabbi Yitzhak. Rabbi Yitzhak, you're of the opinion that says what? Even Damo. Rabbi Yitzhak says even the blood you can bring in. We have a question. Etiver Rabbi Amid Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha. Okay, that's his name, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha. Nimnin Umoshkin Yedehen Memenu Achi Shachet. Do you remember we learned the Masichet Pesachim? Until when can members register to the Korban Pesach? What's the cutoff point? Right. So the Gemara said, Nimnin, they're able to register, or for that matter, Moshkin, they can unregister from a group, Ad Shi Shachit, until the Shachita. Until, as long as they didn't make Shachita yet, I want to join, I want to get out, you're not locked in. Oh, Tim Ita, but if you're holding that it's still considered a par, at the dam stage, mm-hmm. So therefore you should be able to register and unregister at Yisroch, at least until the sprinkling of the blood. Understand the logic. That Yitzhak Nafra holds, a par is considered a par even at the dam stage. Because the Torah says, Bezot, Yavo, Arona, goes Befar. You didn't come in with a par. As long as there's mud here, it's like you came in with the par. The dam is like the par. Very good. So then how do you learn the Masechet Pesachim that says you can only register and unregister so long as the animal is not slaughtered? What do you mean? According to you, even after it's slaughtered, the reason why the Gemara chose Zirikat Adam to be the cutoff point, because it's obvious that Zirikat Adam is the kapara in the Korban Pesach. After the Zirikat Adam, even though there's still blood there, that's a cutoff. For sure you cannot register, unregister. But it shouldn't be the Shechita, the cutoff point. It should be
later.
So the Kabbalah Gemaran says, Shani Atam Dichtiv Mihiyot Mise. He says it's different over there. We have a Gezerat Katuf. The Pasuk has the word Mihiyot Mise. And from the word mihiyot, the Gemara Zoresh, mihiyuta dese, that registering and unregistering can only be when the se is alive. Gezerat Katuf, which is really in all other places, even after the slaughtering, it's considered the animal. Korban Pesach, mihiyuta dese, it's got to be when it's alive. Okay, comes Gemara and says, Mativ Mor Zutra. We talk about the law of Peter Hamor. What's Peter Hamor? You have a donkey. It gives birth to a firstborn, right? The first out of the womb. Halakha Torah says that you have to make a pidyon. Meaning, why do you make the pidyon? You go to the Kohen. You give the Kohen a sheep. And now the Hamor becomes usable. And like we say, if you don't do the pidyon, va'alafto. The only thing you can do to the Hamor is you have to kill it. So now we discuss with which items do you make this pidyon, Peter Hamor, with. So Torah says, Beseh, with a sheep. So the Gemara says, "Matib bar zutra, en podin lo be'egel." Okay, you can't make the bijon with a kef.
Okay.
Kef is not from the sheep family. Velo bechaya, that would be like a wild animal, like a deer, let's say. Velo bishkuta, nor can you use an animal that was slaughtered, even a sheep that was slaughtered.
It's got to be alive.
Velo betrefa, let's say terefa means the animal, its legs were cut off. So it's terefa, no good. Velo bekilayim, nor can you use a crossbreed, let's say between an ez and a rachel, Rashi says. Now an ez would be a goat and a rachel would be a female sheep. Even though they're both from the sheep family, still it's kelayim. It's crossbred, no good. Velo bikvi. Kvi is a crossbreed between a tayish and a sviya. That's a male goat and a female mountain goat. So that animal is called a kvi. So these items over here cannot be used for pidyon. Now, ela bese, you can only use a regular, we'll call it a purebred sheep. Oh, so the question is, but you said not shechuta.
Right.
Why not? According to you, Rabbi Yitzchak Mefha, I took a sheep, even if I slaughtered it, you hold even after the slaughtering, it's still considered a sheep.
Yeah.
So therefore the chavrai should be able to make the pidyon, even with the shechuta, just like you hold by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that after he slaughtered the par, he died, the segur can bring in the blood, because the blood is still considered bringing in the par. So the chavra, pidyon, peter, hamor, even after shechuta, it still be considered the sheep, and therefore the Torah says, tifdeh beseh, the chavra should be good. To that the Gemara says, Shani Atam, the alif says, seh mipesah. We have a gezer hashavah. It says the word say by pidyon petach hamor. It says the word say by Pesach. What did we just say by Pesach? Mechiyuta de se. It's got to be alive. So I guess that Shabbat teaches me here also it's got to be alive. Kabbalah says, oh, hold it. Ima la'alan zachar tam uben shana. You want to make Gezeirat Shabbat to Pesach? Pesach, take it all the way. By Pesach we have three qualifications. Number one, it has to be a male. Number two, it has to be no Baal Mum. It has to be Tam, complete. And number three, it has to be Ben Shana, 1 year. Masha'enken, we know the law of Peter Hamor. It can be a female. It can even have a Baal Mum, and it doesn't have to be Ben Shana. So the question, what are you talking about? If you have the Gezeirat Shavah, Afkan, Zachar, Tam, or Ben Shana. Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Tifde riba.
Oh, extra.
Meaning we have several times the pasuk of Petr Hamor, it says the word tifde, redeem. So from the extra words redeeming, we learned that what even if you want to redeem it with an item that's not exactly like Pesach. Again, Sese would tell me whatever's Pesach, that's Petr Hamor. Tifde comes and includes more items that are not by Pesach. Comes and goes, Zi tifde riba, afilu kulluhu nameh. Hold it. Once you got tifdeh, then you should include everything, meaning all types of seh. Meaning, for sure you got to use a seh. But what? You should tell me kilayim should be okay, back to shechuta, you know, all sorts of seh should be permissible. So the Gemara says, Filu kodoname imken seh ma'ahanile. Hold it. Then what do you need to get the rashava of seh from Pesach? Which means like this, the se of Pesach tells me what? That just like it's got to be alive by Pesach, Mechiyuta, so it's got to be alive by Peter Hamor. And obviously the se is making a restriction. Okay, it's limited. Tifde is only coming to include certain items, but it's not coming to include everything. Because if it's coming to include everything, then what does se do? So obviously you have a certain gezeirat shavah that limits, and you have a certain extra words that include. But you can't come along now and include everything, because then you undo the first gezeirat shavah. So the bottom line, you have to say like this. Se comes and tells me, number one, it's got to be alive. That's the main thing. It's got to be a sheep. We know that already. It's got to be a sheep. It's got to be alive. Lapuke shachut. Perfect. Ah, what about, you're making comparisons? Compare it exactly. Let it be Zachar, let it be Tamim, let it be Ben Shana. No. We're not so rigid. Tifte, anything. Oh, tifte. If anything's okay, even go Shechuta. Shechuta, we have to give Zachar Seh. So you can't include that. So therefore you have to say one is limiting and one is including, and therefore each one is including something else. The Gemara is telling us,
How do you know seh applies?
You're right. That's the
tradition.
Right.
How do you know it doesn't apply
to
male men?
That's the Gemara. Correct. You need the Gemara to come and tell you which item is limiting and which item is including.